Sundays, as we head out of the Lutheran church on the corner of Port and Burgundy, Poppy, or my mother, invites anyone who seems lonely or the slightest bit capable of appreciating a home-cooked meal to have dinner with us. Friends stop by to order a pound of crab meat salad, a dozen garlic and herb-stuffed artichokes. Poppy takes Italian breadcrumbs, olive oil, dried parsley, and lots of garlic, lemon juice, and hot red pepper, pats it all with his hands until it holds together just so. Then he lovingly stuffs each steamed tender leaf. Sometimes he chops up hearts and adds them, along with shrimp or lump crab meat, into the stuffing. Other friends beg for jars of my grandfather's famous crawfish bisque made with Binder's French bread that he fries off in a big cast-iron skillet with garlic and spices. The crawfish heads have been pulled and cleaned at the most recent seafood boil, and the sweet tail meat gets chopped and stirred into the stuffing. To eat this fragrant stew, we ladle heaping portions over hot boiled rice and use the tips of our tongues to scoop out the stuffing from the heads. I don't know how to say it yet, but I want this heat, this unprecedented sweetness, to nourish me the rest of my life. My sister Susie and I are the only Oriental girls, as we are called, in our school, so the comfort of Poppy's kitchen after school every day, the promise of his home-cooked meals, are our refuge, a safe place where our grandparents nourish us, solid food to remind us that we exist, that we live in a new world where we have not been forgotten.
It's very clear that you were very close to your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Who was an outstanding cook.
He was. He wasn't a chef, and he didn't cook anything fancy. It was really about this generous, big one-pot sort of cooking, gumbo and jambalaya. And his heritage was actually German. So, we had potato pancakes as well. But it was just his love of cooking. And, of course, New Orleans helps being in a city like that. But that is where I got my love of cooking.
Now, as a young woman, you go off to college in Florida, and at some point you have the opportunity to study abroad.
The first time I went to Paris during my sophomore year on an exchange, and then actually my senior year I left.
But at some point you're not just a student in Europe anymore. You're living there.
I'm living there, yes.
And at some point, you meet a Frenchman, a very successful Frenchman.
I do. I was actually, I had left Nice and didn't know if I was going to come. Well, I think I knew I didn't want to come back to the States. I didn't know where I was going to go. And I went to Sweden, of all places. And I was living in Stockholm when I met this successful Frenchman that you're talking about.
Olivier.
Yes, Olivier.
And you start a relationship with him that goes on for a number of years.
Yes. We moved, we were together for 6 months back and forth between Sweden and France. And then after 6 months, he showed up and said, get your passport and come. And I followed, went to France.
And you were what, 22 at that time?
22, yes.
22.
Very young.
Well, part of this narrative is you fall in love with this older Frenchman who's very successful. And you essentially move in with him. He has a child, an 8-year-old, I believe.
Yes.
And throughout this relationship, there is food. There is an abundance of food. And one of the things that's very clear in your book is that this is not only a memoir about your coming of age, growing up, this time you spend in Europe, particularly France. It's about your love with food.
It is. As a food editor, I always hear people who want to write for the magazine. I'm the food editor of Cottage Living, and I hear people say, oh, I love food. I love food. Of course, everybody loves food. But in this particular case, I was living in Provence, which has an amazing and very rich and deep food culture. But we also had a house where it was open constantly. And in many ways, like my grandfather, people would always show up for meals. And there was an abundance of cooking and love and sharing. And that was in the kitchen, definitely.
It's an amazing thing, the things that happen at table, when people gather and they eat and they have conversation. Real life is lived out at tables.
It is, and maybe we would have fewer conflicts and wars if people would sit down and have a meal first. But I do believe that, and I think you know, as a someone who's always been restless and searching and traveling, obviously, I think that, you know, some people are guided by monuments or, you know, when they travel. For me, the monument is the table or the restaurant or the particular dish to a particular region and sharing that meal with locals. And I think it really is a way of sort of learning that culture, learning about those people, and maybe about yourself a little bit as well.
Ultimately, you get involved in psychotherapy, and this leads to a lot of changes.
It does. You know, psychoanalysis, which is, you know, we could talk for hours about that, and not that I'm an expert or that I'm a strong advocate of it necessarily. I think it really depends on finding a great analyst. There are a lot out there who can be, it can be harmful. But I think that self-awareness and really trying to figure out, you know, Lacan always talked about desire and knowing what your desire is. But even what's more difficult than that is wanting what you want. And that's difficult. But psychoanalysis, I think, can help you with that.
And my reading of about your relationship with Olivier, and he had a lot of things you didn't have. He had that place.
He had a very strong sense of place and who he was, who he is, definitely.
And you hadn't found that?
No, I was 20,
not at that time.
No, I was 22 years old. And, you know, and it's funny because when you're that young and you're also living in another country, you're living in another language, and people see you as always as something else. You know, they're either saying, oh, she's the American, or she's the Asian American, or oh, she's from La Louisiane, you know, or she's the Cajun. Or so there were so many identities bestowed on me that it was very confusing. And I was also, you know, the stepmother, and I was also, you know, the love of Olivier's life or his lover or whatever, you know, people wanted to call me. So it was difficult and confusing.
But you're older and wiser now.
I'm older.